I believe, if I'm looking at the calendar correctly, we are down to exactly 3 weeks left of the 2025 legislative session. And right at the top of the to-do list before everything adjourns is we got to pass a state budget. So let's check on the very latest with this and the biggest talks happening up in Hartford. Joining us now, political reporter for News 8 and a buddy of ours, Mike Cerulli, is here. Mike, welcome back. And what is happening? I know, ironically enough, today happens to be Nonprofit Alliance Day, where organizations across the state are going to be going up to Hartford and really challenging lawmakers to invest more money in nonprofits, for example. What are the latest talks around the budget?
Well, good morning, Melissa. It's great to be back. The latest talks around the budget are pretty much the same as they've been for the last few months, which is there's a degree of uncertainty around what the federal government is going to do. Less uncertainty than there was a few months ago, and we could talk about that in a second. And then the second ask or the second thing that's really being happening right now is what you just mentioned, which is the sort of pile or long, long list of people who would like more and additional money in the state budget. The nonprofits, higher education, definitely leading the way, and local municipalities as well, I should add. So today, one of those three kind of core constituency groups asking for money, and there's way more than three, will be up there. And for people, I think sometimes when we talk about nonprofits, people might conjure up images of, you know, sort of a charity that they might donate to once in a while or something like that. And that's certainly true. But the bulk of the nonprofit asks, the requests of the state legislature are really for agencies and service organizations that are delivering core social services. So there's this kind of trend among state and local governments to sort of what you might think of as outsourcing the things that in other places, in other countries in the world, the government does. But for a variety of reasons, we sort of assign to nonprofit social service organizations. So you're talking about health, community-based health centers. You're talking about homeless services. You're talking about food pantries. These are the types of folks that are asking for more money in the state budget. And of course, as with any state budget, not everyone's going to leave happy on June the 4th.
And, you know, I have to bring this up because I think it's also a sticking point for a lot of these nonprofits who are taking part in today's Nonprofit Alliance Day. Mike Cerulli, you remember, you and I talked about this a couple months back, that the governor had said, yes, I need to sort of go outside the fiscal guardrails and allot money to education, K through 12, and special education. But I also want to allot, it was a small amount, it was a couple million dollars, you probably have the numbers in front of you, but, you know, to specific nonprofits that had to do with the LGBTQ plus community, as well as Planned Parenthood, for example. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be supporting these organizations, just to make it very clear. What I am saying, though, is that nonprofits who didn't fall under that category, because they're not the at most under attacked organizations by the Trump administration, they didn't get high priority, essentially. And they're not happy about it. I look at Homes for the Brave, for example. We just had Vince Santilli in studio not that long ago. He had two national reports that ranked Connecticut near and at the bottom for veteran support care in the country, which is pretty alarming when you hear that. And there are a lot of factors into that. But he's going to be one of the many people up there saying, wait a minute, why weren't we considered to have money allotted to us? The facts are there. We need to do better with veteran care. And that could be creating more space for the cemeteries that are filling up very quickly. That could be having a better focus on housing legislation to actually create more affordable housing. It doesn't necessarily have to be money invested into their nonprofit. I mean, that certainly would help in their regards. But you know what I'm saying? I think that's a big sticking point for the organizations you just mentioned, Mike, which was, why were some prioritized over others when the facts are there? People are hungry in Connecticut. People are lacking housing in Connecticut. People need support. And there are a lot of nonprofits who should have also made the cut or been considered. I think that's where they're coming from.
Yep. And they're going to be there today, making that exact argument. And look, many of them also, you have to talk about what's happening at the federal level. You take Connecticut Food Share, for example. Like, they do have an argument. They can go to the administration here in Connecticut and say, you know, you're talking about nonprofits and sort of groups that are being cut by the administration. Well, Food Share is one of those groups. They were cut to the tune of more than seven figures when the administration pulled back on a series of grants that basically provide money for food pantries and local school districts to purchase fresh produce from local farmers. So not only will you have Food Share up there saying, hey, what about us? We took a hit. We'd like to at least be made whole by that. If not, they're actually asking for more than that because, you know, as they'll explain, you know, the need is always growing right now. And then on the other side of it, the farmers, the agriculture groups are going to say the same thing. They're going to say, look, we're taking a hit, not just from the grants, right? But they're also looking at a tariff situation that might adversely impact the American dairy products. If the American dairy industry is hit by large-scale retaliatory tariffs from our three trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and China, you know, that will drive the cost of dairy down because the domestic market will be flooded with excess supply. So there's all these groups that are going to come in and make an argument. Some will be related to the President Trump. Some will not be. Some will just be related to, hey, it's tough economic times for people, which means the burden on these nonprofit service groups is raising every day.
We've got political reporter from News 8, Mike Cerulli, here, who also happens to have a show on the weekends on WICC, talking about the very thing we're chatting about now, what's happening in state politics. We have a couple weeks left of the legislative session, and we were just talking about the budget, but it seems like, Mike, there's something else that is really taking precedence with lawmakers up in Hartford. What are you finding?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of an intuitive concept when you say it out loud, which is, you can't make a budget unless you know how much money you want to spend. And one of the big drivers right now of Hartford's spending is whatever the federal government decides to do with Medicaid. Medicaid is, you know, one of the biggest categories of federal spending. And unlike Social Security, unlike some of the other welfare programs, Medicaid is a joint partnership between the state and the federal government. And the federal government has basically said to states, however much you increase your Medicaid investment by, we'll increase our Medicaid. It's not exactly one-to-one all the time, but you know, the amount of federal funding is usually commensurate with the amount of state funding in a way. So the federal government has long held up that end of the bargain. Medicaid is obviously a very popular program, but it's also one of the biggest categories of federal spending. And so if you're a president who campaigned on a promise to drastically reduce federal spending, to reduce the deficit, and you're looking for places to make cuts. And oh, by the way, you've also expressed the desire to not cut the military budget, which is another big category of federal spending. You're sort of left with a few options, right? You could cut into Medicaid, you cut into Medicare, you cut into Social Security, right? There's the sort of other things we talk about when we talk about federal budget reductions make up pretty relatively small portions of total federal spending. The big ones are defense, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and then believe it or not, the interest that they actually pay on the national debt. Those are the biggest categories of federal spending. And the House Republicans in Washington, D.C. earlier this week released what the president calls part one of the Big Beautiful Bill, which will, over the next 10 years, according to the Congressional Budget Office, reduce the deficit by hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. And the bulk of that's going to be coming from cuts in Medicaid spending. So think of it this way, right? It's a state federal program. If they drastically reduce spending on that, then someone here in Connecticut is going to either have to make up the hole for that, or people are going to probably end up losing their health insurance. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that in that 10-year period, something to the tune of 8.6 million people around the country will lose their health coverage, obviously a portion of them here in Connecticut. The portion that they're thinking about right now is that they would have a work requirement for Medicaid. So this is another idea. It polls pretty well. It's long been a Republican priority. But the understanding is that there's hundreds of thousands of people here in Connecticut who would be impacted by that. Some of them potentially would lose coverage under this plan. So there's other ways, too, that Medicaid payments to states would be reduced by hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So if the state of Connecticut is intent on making up and filling that hole, at least for the next 2 years, they'll have to take drastic fiscal action in the next 14 days or perhaps even come into special session over the later summer and early fall.
So there's a couple of things with this, Mike Cerulli. First of all, did you see that earlier this month the president did submit his initial I'm like totally blanking. His budget proposal for the 2026 fiscal year. Did you see he submitted that on May 2nd?
Yes.
So, I mean, when I look at it, according to the White House website, and again, I read this a few days ago, I did see in there he certainly was talking about, I think it's part of his, is it MAHA, Make America Healthy Again initiative, and providing more to the Department of Health and Human Services and tackling, and then he also talks about preserving Social Security. I don't remember seeing anything in there about cuts to Medicaid. Like, I mean, and I looked through it, I kept looking, and he kind of, I mean, at least the website really highlighted each item that he was looking through. I didn't see anything about Medicaid on there. Again, that was based on the White House press website, but maybe I missed it or maybe it's been updated.
So what's working through Congress right now is what's called a reconciliation bill.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do budgets in the sense that the Connecticut state government does budgets on a two-year cycle. What they do is the parties that control the House and the Senate get together and decide on what their priorities are and then spend a period of time hammering out their differences. In many senses, the House usually leads the way on that because they revenue originates in the House. So this proposal that we saw late Sunday night into Monday morning is the first leg of that bill. And the president has said, you know, he wants it all done at once. And remember, this isn't just spending, it's tax cuts, too. So the president has outlined about $4.5 trillion worth of tax cuts. And the Congress says in order to pay for that, they want to cut federal spending by about $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. And again, the levers you have to pull here are fairly limited. And so Medicaid has been identified. But, yeah, this is the big bill. I mean, they literally call it, the president calls it, the Speaker of the House calls it. They literally call it the big, beautiful bill because they want to do it all at once. They want to cut the spending and they want to cut the taxes at once in one fell swoop. The House Speaker, Mike Johnson, has said he wants to do this by Memorial Day. It remains to be seen whether or not he'll be able to reach that deadline. And remember, for our legislature, you know, the Democrats who control it would rather there not be $715 billion worth of reductions in spending on Medicaid. But if there are going to be cuts to Medicaid, they would rather know about that before June 4th rather than after.
That's why I'm going there, Mike Cerulli, is because it's sort of it stinks because we're really not going to have answers from the federal government and what the budget's going to look like for them until after our session wraps up. So it's sort of I'm wondering, I mean, do you anticipate in your professional opinion that we might see like a special session in the summertime or something? In case we do, I mean, because I would imagine that you don't want to allot money if money is not needed, but you also we have to sort of see what the federal government's going to do, and we're not going to have those answers until after our session wraps up. That's sort of what I'm getting at.
What the Democrats' response to this in Connecticut has been is they say essentially in their own revenue plan, in the state level revenue plan, they say, look, there's a stream of money to the more than $1 billion a year usually that is diverted directly into making extra payments for the pension fund. So those are obligated payments. Think of it like a mortgage, right? There's the payments
you have
to make every month. And what the Democrats have done in their revenue plan, which has not yet been adopted, which will likely be changed pending negotiations, is they've said, let's take $700 million of that stream of revenue and basically stick it in a new account. They call it a supplemental budget reserve fund. And I think that the little description that they put beneath it is, you know, if something changes over the next, you know, few months, we can use this money. So what they're trying to do in this
like a backup rainy day fund, but for the federal government cuts that could be coming.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You can think of it almost, I mean, they don't like to use this term. I think of it more of like a Trump fund, right? This is if the president is able to find the Congress is able to follow through on their promise to cut spending by $1.5 trillion and Connecticut is inclined to make up some of that lost revenue, they could dig into this pile of money. Of course, you have to know what the size of the hole you're wanting to fill is.
Exactly.
And you also have to know what you're willing to actually do on your end. The hole might be X size, and they might only be willing or able to fill in a certain percentage of that size, depending on what happens. So they already have sort of a plan to just sort of set some money aside. And then the thinking is they'd probably come in maybe August, maybe September, to sort of reevaluate, maybe allocate some of that fund.
That's what I sort of thought. I mean, that's what I kind of figured would have to happen. But again, you've got to get enough approval to sort of make a rainy day fund 2.0, if you will. As we keep saying, we'll see what happens. Mike Cerulli, appreciate you. Political reporter with Newsday. Thank you so much for the breakdown. We have run out of time, but I'm sure we'll be talking again before session wraps up in June.